Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the World of Ideas, where we talk about religion and the modern world. I'm your host, Kasan Henry. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We have an exciting show planned for you today. That's right, we're going to get into hip-hop today. We're going to talk about the religious and spiritual hip-hop, the religious and spiritual impact of early hip-hop on our American youth. I'm really excited. I was just talking to our special guest not too long ago, and we just got so much going on here. So, listen, you better get in here now because we're going to get deep. There's something very, very deep and important to understand about hip-hop, and our special guest is going to really unleash that for us. So gear up. Call your friends if they love hip-hop or if they're in the studio right now. Tell them to tune in. Grab that link. Grab the number here on the website. And make sure they all call in. Now, for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, this is the World of Ideas, Religion, and the Modern World Show. In short, we talk about everything. We talk about spiritual things. We talk about religious stuff. We talk about politics, civil rights. Last week, we had a very knowledgeable guest on health, Dr. Alicia Chung, who talked about health styles and eating properly and taking it one step at a time. And that is part of our game plan here, because really the mission statement for this radio show is changing the world one conversation at a time. And in order to change the world, we have to work on ourselves and be examples of a world that we would like to live in. Okay, so thanks again for tuning in. This is really, really good. Now, before we move on to our special guest here, did you all hear the State of the Union address 2015? I love it. Yeah, I know there are a few people out there, actually more than a few, who were not so excited about it and didn't really have much to say about it, but I did. It was very enthusiastic. It was very optimistic in the face of pessimism and cynicism. And as I said on the show 2 weeks ago, it's all about having the audacity to be optimistic in this world, not to give up. And that's what I'm about right now. I'm about having the audacity to be optimistic, to make positive change, not to resign to the negative aspects of our culture, of our societies. Why give up? We're still here. So on this show here, every now and then, you want to get some tips on how to be optimistic, how to be positive, how to be a barrier breaker, obstacle overcomer. And that's what we're going to do. And with that said, let me drop something that happened the other day. I was in a conversation online about voting and complaining. And I just want you all to know out there, if you vote, you have a right to complain. You have a right to be active. And in fact, you're supposed to be active as citizens. When you get people to represent you as leaders or as specialists in certain fields, people who know things that we don't know and we expect them to perform or direct us so that our society is good and better day by day, you should be active. You should be on your toes and finding out what's going on your behalf. So I just want to drop that so that you can think about this throughout the week and pass the message on. Be proactive citizens. Okay, so that's our little recap and looking forward segment. we're going to get ready. We are going to get ready for our guest. And he is a remarkable, remarkable human being. And I had the luxury of working with him, had the opportunity to work with him doing music and stuff. And I let you know right now, for those of you who are looking for some hip-hop music that can motivate, that can stimulate, that can educate, we have a brother who can drop that, Vandell Azhar Ali. And just to warm you up to Azhar, I'm going to drop some of his music here. So for those of you who are tuning in, you're going to get a little bit of his flavor. And then when the song is over, we're going to get right down to business with the show. So again, thank you for tuning in to the World of Ideas. Out the physical ears, I can visualize the future, predict the future, prophesize the future. It's in ya. I can heal myself, rebuild myself. I am not my body, but my revealed self. How I spend my time as a physical creature dictates how I manipulate the ether. You are special. The world needs you. Don't be discouraged. You can live through insurmountable odds. And even though a corrupt world shaped us, we can be reformed and they can't break us. By now we gotta know that money is not God. Put your trust in that or drugs and you crash hard. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Real leaders stand up. Let's remove these imposters. The world tries to tell me who I am. They can't, cause I know who I am. I'll never apologize for who I am. I am whoever I say I am. The world tries to tell me who I am. They can't, cause I know who I am. I'll never apologize for who I am. I am whoever I say I am. Seated behind tinted glass, I observe and analyze the ways of the so-called civilized. The highest wisdom of this world cannot solve the problems of this world, so why should I conform to this world? I let my mind be free, stargazing. It keeps me zen, while paper chasing. Cause impatience will have you in the bin. Walk in the yard, a cherubim with clipped wings. And that is not my destiny. The Lord of all worlds prepared the best for me. By declaring that, I put devils in motion to plot. But I don't fear that. All things are possible through this boom back. It's my gift and my duty to uplift. Who gonna do it like this if I don't do it like this? Street disciple, apostle of poetry, original man from the projects. Remember me? The world tries to tell me who I am. They can't, cause I know who I am. I'll never apologize for who I am. I am whoever I say I am. The world tries to tell me who I am. They can't, cause I know who I am. I'll never apologize for who I am. I am whoever I say I am. They say we only get one life. How the hell do they know? They talk about what heaven's like. How the hell do they know? They talk about what hell is like. Well, that they do know. It's hell on earth for billions of people. Religious leaders convinced us that we deserve to get a punishment that they deserve to get.
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back to the World of Ideas. We're back from our first break. You're listening to Azhar, Vandell Azhar Ali. He's our special guest today. And he's going to be talking to us about the religious and spiritual impact of early hip-hop on youth in America. Okay, let me just give you a little bit of his background just so that you know what we're dealing with today. Okay. Azhar is a scholar. He's a hip-hop scholar, not just an artist. And this is very important. This means that he's not just performing on stage, but he's dissecting his own art form. He's understanding the influences it has and those things that influence it, hip-hop. Not just the music, but the culture and everything as well. Okay, so Vandell Azhar Ali is an expert on hip-hop culture who speaks on the spiritual and religious impact of early and golden era hip-hop on youth in America. He's also the editor of Culture Cipher, a blog dedicated to the study and preservation of the art of rhyme. He is also an educator, health coach, and hip-hop lyricist. So you see, this is a man of the world of ideas. So we're going to bring in our guest, special guest, Vandell Azhar Ali. Azhar, how you doing today, man? Welcome to the show.
Hello, sir. Peace, brother. How are you?
I'm well. And how are you doing this good day?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me. Peace and blessings to you and to your listeners. And I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, listen, I'm getting the best end of this deal. because you're a very insightful person. I love your music, and I know you're moving things around, got businesses to run, rhymes to write, and, you know, for someone to take their time out to come on to a radio show, you know, it's really special. You know, it's a sense of giving back, especially on a topic like this. You know, it's not just about promoting a particular item or selling an album. You're here to share some deep wisdom and history on hip-hop. So thank you very much, everybody out there. Y'all should be clapping your hands because I'm excited. So as
it's my pleasure, brother. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So let's get into this. Now, I know you personally, and I know that you are, I mean, you're dedicated to hip-hop. And so, but I do notice that when I speak to most people, they use this word hip-hop in very limited ways. And so I would like
yes,
for you
sir.
To share your understanding of hip-hop. What does that mean to you?
All right. Well, I guess first we should answer that by defining, you know, what hip-hop is not, you know, based on what most people think of when they think of hip-hop. Hip-hop is not the entertainment industry or the record industry. They are what they are and what they've always been. What you hear on the radio, you know, where supposedly hip-hop lives, is compartmentalized, it's synthetic, it's a sliver. Today, it's a sliver of the worst aspects of one element of hip-hop, and we call that element rap. And so mainstream rap right now is being used to do what Hollywood has always done, and that's to show a distorted image of people of color, you know, as opposed to the more positive aspects. So rap is just one element of hip-hop, and what you see in the mainstream is a compartmentalized synthetic sliver of the worst aspects of that element. Hip-hop, however, is more than that. Hip-hop is the element of rap, but it's also movement, it's also visual art, it's also DJing, as we call it, it's also the way we think, the way we talk, the way we dress, is street fashion, is street entrepreneurialism, it's the way we express ourselves, and it's a expression that came at a certain time for a particular generation, and it's a culture. Okay, so, and we'll get to the defining of that, but to answer your question, to me, hip-hop is a way of being, not hip-hop as displayed and defined and slapped all over everything now, car commercials, this, that, and the third, but who we were and what it was before it was accepted by the world, before it was accepted outside of the neighborhoods of New York City. So to me, hip-hop is like, it's just who I am, who we were, and who we are, many of us still, who we are. It's how we lived. It was our culture from our generation and our time.
Wow. Okay. We got a can of worms open up here, and I really appreciate that insightful. I mean, you basically opened up the elements of hip-hop that most people overlook, it seems. And especially when you say it's a way of being, it's a form of expression, art, language, music, DJing, dancing, and not just rap and or rap of a particular sort. That's really insightful. So I want to ask you this: how did you get into this kind of culture? What drew you here? Because there are many people, I'm sure, who would consider themselves to be fans of hip hop, and there are many people who probably have, like, you know, a certain number of favorite singers or songs and maybe know every line to everyone, but you are a practitioner of hip-hop. How did that happen? How did you become a hip-hopper?
Well, I didn't get into hip-hop. Hip-hop got into me. So hip-hop was like the very air we breathed. I was born in 1973 in Brooklyn. By the time I was 6 or 7 years old, the record The Breaks by Curtis Blow had come out. Prior to that, in 1979, Fatback King Tim had dropped. There was a joint called Fatback King Tim that dropped. But that wasn't all over the streets like The Breaks were. These are The Breaks. And by the time The Breaks dropped, all of the other elements of hip-hop had already been in effect. So graph art was nothing new. Breakdancing, you know, what we call it now, or b-boying, was nothing new. DJing was nothing new because we were doing that in the parks when no one knew it existed. You understand what I'm saying? So that's a very important point because it was a natural, organic thing for a particular generation. And so also there was already street fashion and street entrepreneurial. So also a part of that was the five percenters and the park jams and the and just the general New York culture that existed in the black communities, particularly black Puerto Rican and any other white kids or any other people who were happened to be around. We were all living this particular way, and our need, as my good buddy Jeff Campbell says it, oppressed people's need for creative self-expression. That was our creative self-expression. So it was being shown all over the walls. The music was playing in the parks. It was disturbing our elders. You know what I'm saying? But it was us being us, you know, as we knew how to be, as we were born to be. So as a kid, I had no idea that this was something new. I didn't know, like, that a rap record was something that was new and hadn't been before. I was, by the time I was aware, you know, 6 or 7 years old, and gaining memories, rap, hip-hop had just been a part of life. I didn't know any other way of being. So New York urban culture is just basically who I was. So I tried my hand at all the elements. It was only natural to do so. And so it was until the years of, say, 1988 and 1989, and that's when hip-hop music got serious, and I realized that it wasn't just about the music, that there was a higher principle or power at work in the music for those who were seekers.
Now that's interesting. That's interesting. So hip-hop was, as you said, you didn't get into it. It got into you. And so it's a force of nature, and it's a culture that sometimes people are probably simply born into, or it's a calling. It may be some spiritual force or a way of expressing that lends itself to certain individuals who understand it and who need that medium to express elements of life, especially African-American and Latino youth who had to endure certain, I guess, cultural and sociological conditions and also take advantage of the kind of instruments available to them and the spaces available to them, as you mentioned.
And, you know, people didn't have instruments, so you know, that's why the B-box and the turntable and, the that was what was there to use. And the definition of culture is the distinct ways that people live differently, classified and represented by their experiences and acted creatively. So that's what we did. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, we came out of a particular time. And, you know, you have to really note, you know, that America had essentially left our people for dead. And this is after Vietnam War. Many of our men were gone. The civil rights movement was over. The 60s was over. J. Edgar Hoover and the CIA had basically crushed the black power and political empowerment movements, except for that which was the civil rights gains, which meant tie your destiny to America, but don't try to be a little too far on your own. You know, so at that point, you know, people had been being herded into public housing, right? And in the Bronx, where hip-hop sparked, it was the worst of New York because it was being neglected by the owners of the properties. They wouldn't do repairs. They were charging high rents. They were treating the people less than favorable, you know what I'm saying? And so the Bronx was a war zone. It was dilapidated. It was broken down. And so out of all of that came what we call hip-hop. But it's important to understand the time, because all of those things lended themselves to hip-hop, and it was our way of we were left alone, and it was the freest we had been. Although we had been poor, we were being left alone, and it allowed us to get closer to our natural selves. So our expression became very high. Like B-boy breakdancing is a very high form of expression. I mean, to spin on your head, you understand? To spin on your head with no training of dancing or anything, to take a drab, dreary brown and gray city or train and turn it into this colorful, eye-popping masterpiece. See, that's an innate spiritual essence that was displaying itself in spite of being surrounded by oppression and poverty. So, you know, hip-hop is not music. Rhyming, rapping is a high form of mathematics. You know, I like to see people who criticize hip-hop or rap do 3-16-bar verses, you know, in a time signature and make it make sense. In fact, do it right now off the top of your head. You can't. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying that to say it's definitely a way of living. It's a culture aside from the commercialized, compartmentalized aspect of it. We want to look at it for what it is before it was and is being exploited.
Yeah, yeah. That's powerful. That's powerful. I mean, we're talking about a culture, and not a low culture, but a high culture, because, I mean, as you just made clear, there are a set of skills there that don't, it's not distributed to everyone. So to drop some rhymes in a time signature, as you said, around a topic and make sense and decorate it, you know, it's tough. It is tough. So let's move closer to our main theme, which is the religious and spiritual impact of early hip hop on youth in America. And before we talk about that impact, I can hear people saying, wait a minute. What do you mean religious and spiritual impact? I mean, what elements of hip hop are spiritual or religious? And, you know, how do you make that connection? So let's talk a little bit about early hip hop and its so-called religious and spiritual context, because for most people, just to be frank about it, you know, they see hip hop as a negative piece of culture or a negative way of expressing the world. They see it as something as antithetical to religion. I mean, there are even, you know, churches, black churches that see hip hop, rap, or at least hear the word as some sort of aspect of the devil's plan, you know, in our community, in the world. So, and here it is, you're saying, well, wait a minute, you know, it came from the womb of religion and spirituality, or it's an element of religion and spirituality. So can you deal with that for a second?
Absolutely. Well, you know, first to address the idea of how people see rap, how they may see it as an instrument of evil and the devil and all of that, well, they're partly correct. Because as I said earlier, there's a difference between rap that you see that is in mainstream America, separated from the community and the culture, that is being used to put forth this imagery, these ideas, and these concepts that are you know, anti-growth and development for us spiritually and mentally. But that's nothing new for the entertainment industry, right? Because they have been doing that since the days of, you know, what we call minstrels and cooning and all of that, right? They show the worst aspects of our people or other people of color. And rap happens to be what they're using now to do that. So it's, that's not about rap itself. That's about a society and a, you know, world and an industry that uses whatever it can to put forth that image and energy into the world. Okay, so, and it doesn't just use rap, it uses anything that it can, whether it's movies, books, television, or whatever. Now, I could say that there are some aspects of their of institutionalized religion that is being used in the same way. We know that to be true. There's that found in everything, okay? And all I can say to those people is we're not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. So I want to be clear as to what we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with a product that's marketed and that has been taken. See, there was a time when any rap video you saw, you had to bear witness to the black community. You might remember videos, and there was always people in the background, kind of just getting into it. At least one person was from our community. You know, it was a representation of our community. The community was involved. Well, now, not so much. You got to fill out an application and get picked and get chosen to be in, you know, a rap video.
Yeah, yeah.
It has been separated from the community. It's been separated from the community. And, you know, I'm not knocking all, I'm not saying all commercial rap, because we know commercial just means to be for sale, and conscious rap is for sale also. But what I'm speaking to is that extreme that people point to use to define all of the culture. And I'm not going to even allow you to do that. You know what I'm saying? Just like I'm not going to allow you to choose the worst image of a brother, a man, or whoever, and define all of us with it. I'm not going to let you define my entire culture with that, especially when you won't point the fingers at the funders and the supporters of that. So, you know, it's easy to blame the youth and blame people who are just as powerless as you, you know, but speak on those who fund and support and make that happen. That's when people shut their lips. But as to whether or not, as to whether or not hip-hop culture is spiritual or religious, well, the definition of spirit is breath, the verb being to blow or to breathe. And I just want to say that. So some people go into the ether and they want to, you know, we got to not be so spooky and just bring it down to what it is. The definition of spirit is breath, you know, and religion, the service, worship of God or supernatural, devotion to a faith or any particular personal set of institutionalized system of religious beliefs and attitude and practices. So it could also be a cause or a principle. So to be clear, when you peel away all of the noise and the layers upon layers of outside influence that's placed on hip-hop, you have a few things. You have first vibration, frequency, rhythm, and movement. Those have always been a spiritual experience and expression of indigenous people. Always. Okay, so that's not, you know, far-fetched to say that's innately us and how we express our godliness, our spirit, our breath, right? Next is the word and the way in which the method of rhyming is done on a time signature in one stream of consciousness. It's a high form of mathematics, as we stated earlier. And like I said, you know, many people see it as, oh, it's not much to it, but could you do that on a tempo of 103 on the subject of astronomy and physics? You probably can't, but GZA of the Wu-Tang did it, and he lectures at MIT, NYU, Oxford, and Harvard doing that. Okay, So the word has always been an aspect of indigenous people's culture and religion and spirituality as well, through the griot who told stories. And we passed on history through the word. That's how we did it. So the word is very powerful. And in hip-hop, in conscious hip-hop and rap, the word is a very potent, straightforward, in-your-face means of communicating. And the fact that it's in rhythm makes it easier to memorize because there's a cognitive connection between rhythm and rhyme. That's why we all learned nursery rhymes as children, right? So three, what hip-hop did for many of us, which is why I say it makes it spiritual and religious, is it redefined God, or really it removed the distorted lie about who and what God is. It completely destroyed in our minds the image and idea of a white God or a white man or the white man being God, because the words, the subject matter, the concepts, and the imagery were inundated with ancient theology taught by Elijah Muhammad, with excerpts of speeches by Farrakhan and Malcolm X, and the slang, the mannerisms, and the literature of the Five Percenters, not to mention like the rallies and events with rap shows that had speeches by Farrakhan or Khalid Muhammad. So there was all of these elements that were bubbling from, you know, the streets that already existed, that was infused into the music. And the words brought to us this idea of something other than what many of us grew up with, and that was being in a church, looking at a white Christ. Okay, let's, you know, I lived in the projects, and so there were churches everywhere. and in every church, there was the white Jesus on the wall, and, you know, and black folk in there basically worshiping that and praising that. You know, as a 5, 6, 7-year-old, that made no sense to me. It definitely wasn't feeding me my soul. So when hip-hop told me, oh, wait a minute, this is the reality of God, that was a spark that changed an entire generation of thinkers and turned our minds on to something that we had not yet gotten. So our sense of identity was shifted also by the images on the album covers and in the videos. You had X-Clan and the Black Watch movement. You had Lakeem Shabazz, Rakim. Rakim came, he had the flag on his jacket. Big Daddy Kane, who looked like a king on his album. Queen Latifah dressed in royal African robes and with her head wrapped, looking very royal. You know, there were, you know, all of these images. Gangstar, they had the book Message to the Black Man in the background on the album cover. There was all these images that Jamal Shabazz, who's a photographer who has great work, he coined this time, a time before crack. You know what I'm saying? A time before crack. And that time got fused into the music and the culture. And so we were walking around wearing African medallions and, you know, and was reconnecting with our roots in a way that, you know, was new and fresh for our generation. Now, you juxtapose Queen Latifah in her royal African wears to today. Nicki Minaj just last year was dressed in a Nazi uniform in video. So think about that. Queen Latifah in African royal wears to today. Nicki Minaj is either mostly naked or dressed in the uniform of who the world will tell you is the scum of the earth, the Nazis. So why dress rap up in that? And why allow yourself to be? That's another subject. But what I want, you know, to be clear is that there's two very distinct, different, you know, levels of thought and existence going on in rap music. And this is really the only place where this issue is at, because you're able to really monetize rap in a way that you couldn't 20 years ago monetize graffiti and breaking, you know what I'm saying, yet. Those things have come a long way, and it's good. But because rap was such a thing that you could package and sell, it became the thing that the world kind of came after to usurp and use to build wealth off of.
Wow, this is, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you got your notebooks out, because this is very, very insightful, very educational, very spiritual. Azar, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to segue. Well, actually, we're going to go a little deeper into this whole idea of hip-hop as a spiritual and religious force. And after this break, I want to talk to you about how, I want to ask you, how did hip-hop lose its spiritual and religious foundation? You know, what wrong turn did it take and how? And so what we're going to do right now is I'm going to play another track by Azar. It's called System Design. And the first track I played was called I Am. This track coming up here that will entertain us during this quick break here is called System Design. Thanks again for listening to The World of Ideas, and we'll be right back with some more knowledge.
Let me go down here and check this mail, see if I got some money down here. What's this? Colorado Correctional Facility.
Hey, yo, this is my man! Yo, hold up, let me see what's going on.
Yo! Oh! Oh, damn, son! It hurt my heart when I heard the years they gave you. Took your whole future away, it's like they slayed you. I know about them judges out there, it's like they crave you. Wanna eat your life, but remember God made you. Had no chance with the public defender they gave ya. Courthouse, a placement center for cheap labor. But as long as you can read and write, you got power. Printing roadmaps of truth to the youth in the late hours. You still have a place in the universe. Your physical is only temporary, but your influence eternal. Your genius is there to be tapped like Saudi oil. Dig inside yourself like deep, rich soil. I made it to the side through the eye of a needle. The incarceration rate punctuates the presence of evil. But I strive to be a godly figure, so I figure I pen some words of wisdom to make the freedom movement bigger. Cause I know if you could reach these cats out here, you would be clear when you say, yo, stay out there. Cut the bullshit and use your brain. Correction Corp of America's on the New York Stock Exchange, and their profitability is contingent on your being locked up indefinitely. It's easy to see prison privatization is the transition back to for-profit plantations that built this nation. The Emancipation Proclamation abolished slavery, acceptance of punishment for crime. The system is designed to leave you deaf, dumb, and blind. Too much TV time makes for a weaker mind. The justice system ain't for us, it's just us. Grandma prayed to Jesus, still we must save us. If you know someone who's gone or locked for years, instead of pouring out liquor or pouring out beers, give their moms a call. See how she be, see if she got needs, or check on his seeds. You see, it takes a village of diligence to fight this. They categorize in third graders now for Rikers. It takes a village of diligence to fight this. They categorize in third graders now for Rikers. It takes a village of diligence to fight this. They categorize in third graders now for Rikers. Yo, I ain't preaching, man. I'm just saying this is what it is. The system is designed to leave you deaf, dumb, and blind. Too much TV time makes for a weaker mind. The justice system ain't for us, it's just us. Grandma prayed to Jesus, still we must save us. Man, let me see. Parole eligibility 2048. God damn, son.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Azar. That was his track, System Design. Yes, indeed. We're here talking about the religious and spiritual impact of early hip hop on youth in America. And I've got to tell you, this dialogue here is very fruitful. And once again, Azar, thanks again for sharing your time and wisdom and experience on the show here tonight. I appreciate it. And the listeners, I'm sure they do as well. They're here, tuned in. I see callers here, some guests in the room. And so I want to move forward and talk to you about the lost foundations. I mean, you really did well in framing the golden era and just showing us how it initially hip-hop culture was filled with so many jewels of how to understand life, of how to redefine our identity, so many different instruments as to how to build ourselves within a society that just crippled us in so many different ways, mm-hmm. politically, economically. And so let's get to this now, because hip hop now is not really for most people, and even by your standard, mm-hmm. In some ways, not living up to its heritage. But again, you made it very clear that what we see represented as hip hop is not hip hop in it and of itself. It's just a slither of maybe perhaps a corrupt fruit, more or less, and that should not represent the other good fruit on this tree of hip hop culture. So,
absolutely,
would you say hip hop lost its spiritual and religious foundations? And if so, when did this happen, and how? How did it take the wrong turn?
Okay. Well, hip-hop didn't lose its spiritual and religious foundation. Mainstream rap, however, was severed from the body of hip-hop culture and made palatable for mainstream America, a.k.a. white America at that time. And now mainstream America means something a little different, but not much different. And, you know, mainstream America can only stomach so much black empowerment before it throws up all over the place and gets violent with us. So, you know, mainstream America is allergic to black empowerment, positive black images, unless it is of the most timid and non-threatening fashion. So, and I guess I have to keep making that point that hip-hop in and of itself, the real hip-hop is still what it is and has always been. And we have scholars from our hip-hop generation now, like Dr. Wesley Muhammad and Dr. Sohail and the author Supreme Understanding and others who prove that spiritual and religious foundation is there. And that foundation is an African meiotic Islamic godhood, basically. Now, how rap, you know, where it made the wrong turn and how? Well, first of all, you know, rap, hip-hop in general, we had no idea what it was up against. Okay, so in 1972, Columbia Records, which was headed by Clive Davis at that time, commissioned Harvard to do a white paper, and among the strategies laid out was how to integrate and whiten up the black music, take over black indie record labels, and depoliticize that space. And it was called the study of the soul music environment. Okay, so you couple that with COINTELPRO, you know, where agents have admitted that the FBI was working very hard studying black culture for an attempt to remove black thought from, you know, any public discourse, with black radio and music being the main targets. There's an ABC News documentary called The FBI's War on Black America that you can look up and learn more about that particular thing. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, right now we know that kind of thing was going on. There's a gentleman by the name of Ricky Vincent. He has a book called Party Music, and it details how the Black Panthers, you know, were destroyed, and it wasn't just by the police, but by Hollywood and the images that they were releasing through black music that ridiculed, you know, people who were militant, so to speak, and it spotlighted the Superflies and the Shafts and the things of that nature. So that same thing was done on our generation with rap music. Now, so today you have removed from the radio any kind of true discussion. You have more music, less talk, and you have a lot of comedy and shucking and jiving and laughing, and nobody's telling you anything on a morning show that can be, you know, fulfilling or help you to develop, right? So, you know, this change in black music, it was pointed out maybe, you know, in 1979, Minister Farrakhan did a speech at where he addressed the body of music executives, and that was at the Jack the Rapper convention in Atlanta. And he basically said, you know, he stated the industry wants some down-home, dirty, funky N-words, who would talk down to the people, be undignified and dumb down the audience. And he described it as a strategy. Now, this was back in 1979. We know that prior to that, he made the speech in 1979. So this was happening. This was in the works before rap was even really on the rising. You know, like I mentioned before, Breaks came out in about 79 or 80. So that was one of the first big rap records. So rap hadn't even really come into the forefront yet. But this was a discussion and a thought, because prior to that, in the 60s, music, soul music, was so important to the movement, you know, to the civil rights movement. Like, it really helped, you know, what James Brown did and other, you know, musicians of that day did help to push that forward. So knowing that being such a powerful force, it was already thoughts, you know, in the air on how to prevent that. And so rap was a victim of that. Now, that's not to say that the artists who decide to go this route and the people who participate in the degradation of rap music are blameless. But that's not necessarily just a hip-hop problem. That's a societal problem, that people will do anything for money. That people, you know, all over the world worship the dollar, or that people live in conditions that, in order to escape, they escape by selling themselves out or by praising and displaying the worst of themselves and their people for the entertainment of others. That's not a hip-hop problem. That's a societal and world problem, because it's been happening in all fields, industries, and areas you could speak of. So when people talk about, you know, how did rap take the wrong turn, which rappers destroyed hip-hop, that's a red herring from the real issue of what placed us in these situations to begin with, you know. Extreme capitalism
Let me cut in one second. I'm sorry. I just want to let people know, because this conversation is really, it's just blooming into some in some realness. And we have to let callers know, if you want to call in, get a question off, make a statement here so that Azar could respond, and we can shake it up a little bit. Now is the time to call. We're running low on time. We have about 12 minutes left. So the number to call in is 646-478-0309. 646-478-0309. Just call in that number, follow the instructions, and you can participate in this conversation. In fact, we got a caller up. So, Azar, let's move over to our audience, okay? I think we're going to have to do a part two, because there was so much more here for us to touch on. We got so much more of your music here that I think people should hear. We're going to have to try to get you back here, man. So what I'm going to do now is head over to our guests. Feel free to give us a first name, city or state, be as candid as you like. You know, just try not to use any French over here. Let's keep it cool, because we want our youth to listen to the show. So this show is really rated G for everybody. So we're going to bring in our first caller here, Azar, okay, while we have time.
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Hello? Hello? You're
Hello?
In the World of Ideas. Hi.
Hi, it's Ariel from Pittsburgh.
Welcome back to the show, Ariel from Pittsburgh. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks. Thanks for calling in. So the floor is yours.
Yes, I have a quick question. As I said, that people tend to look at rap, or even hip-hop, as showing black people negatively, but in actuality, it's shown all over Hollywood. Why do you feel that people could blame more rap and hip-hop more than they blame movies or TV shows? Why do you think people cut and draw more to hip-hop as being the negativity in the black community as opposed to the other aspects?
Well, you know, when has that not been the case and the tactic, you know, in America? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very easy target. It's a very easy target. It's kind of, you know, the culture of the country, of, you know, of America has been to demonize, you know, what we do. And, I mean, it's really as simple as that. I mean, it's not that it's any more deplorable than anything else. And, in fact, you know, I argue that it's less deplorable, that there are things out there that are so despicable, you know what I mean, that deserve to be being addressed as opposed to cuss words and rap music. And, you know, the idea that what rap is doing is something new is it's not. It's just rap is what's now being used to do what has always been done.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, so Ariel, I'm gonna keep you on the line. If you wanna, if you have another question, just let me know. We're gonna try to use up as much time as we all the time we have, and get as much as we can from Ezra while he's here. So, Ezra, I want to ask you this. Let's talk about some proactive steps.
Okay.
What do you think, you know, should be done in music and culture? What are the kinds of things that you're doing yourself to address the state of hip-hop and rap music in America and its exploitation by corporate America?
Well, and again, you know, I don't want to demonize corporate America as a whole, but we know that there are elements, because there are some good things too, right? You know, hip-hop, positive hip-hop gets sponsored and there's shows and this thing. But to that, and I don't even want to make this about that really, because this is about the good hip-hop. Because that, I mean, you know, we just had to define what we're not talking about, you know what I'm saying, so that we understand that there's an aspect of hip-hop that is so powerful, so potent, so useful, so beautiful, so necessary, so good for our youth, okay, that we must use it. It was given to us. It's a gift from God, okay, to be able to use the culture in that way so that our children can learn in the way that is best for them, okay, through music, culture, rhythm, rhyme, movement, artistic expression. That's how our children learn best. So we just have to take the responsibility for what we choose to listen to, watch, and read, because the entertainment industry doesn't really care about our children's mental, spiritual, and emotional health. So let's not expect them to, and let's do what we can do for ourselves. Those of you who remember when rap had positive messages, play that music around the house, around your kids, just like our parents played old school R&B and funk and all of that around us. That's why we know about it, you know, and then, you know, stop swallowing every new show and fad that's fed to you. You know, I know we get happy when we see an image of ourselves on TV that, you know, will accept anything. And it's not until season two that you realize how despicable that character is being made out to be. And by that time, it's too late. You know, sent the ratings through the roof and all of that. So we just have to be more conscious about what we choose to support. If we support the best images, seek out the best music, the best movies, the best positive things, then that's how we can help to change it, at least in our own lives and homes and in our children's lives. And as for creatives, you know, I say stand for something. You know, just think about how your work will affect others. People are being beat down every day through images in the media and the day-to-day, you know, life and system of capitalism. So, you know, ask yourself, is what I'm doing uplifting or downgrading? Because you may get money, but you can never live down degrading yourself and others to do so. You just can't live that down. You know what I'm saying?
That's beautiful. Uplifting or downgrading. Okay, let me throw something at you real fast.
Yes, sir.
Who are some of the representatives of hip-hop or your favorites?
Well, in terms of people who represent the idea of there being a spiritual and religious aspect and impact to be found there for the sake of, you know, being able to check that out, from the early days you have Lakim Shabazz, Public Enemy, Rakim, Brand Nubian, X-Clan, Big Daddy Kane, Gangstar, Wise Intelligence, Support Righteous Teachers, and KRS-One, who has some of the most influential songs in regards to having a spiritual and religious impact. And then going into the 90s, you got the Wu-Tang, because it was inundated with 5% in Islamic speech and rhetoric and their affiliates. So like Killer Priest, Shabazz the Disciple, Hellraiser, Sons of Man, Gravediggers. And for more recent artists, like right now, there's Psy-Rock. There's a young guy named Bel Air that's really good. Jay Electronica, Brother Ali, Jasiri X. These are all people who have that very potent, positive, thought-provoking, spirit-developing element and aspect to their music.
Nice. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we're live with Azar, Vandell Azar Ali, hip-hop educator, hip-hop scholar, health coach, lyricist, entrepreneur, CEO. And time is winding down. We're going to have to do a part two, man. So let me just make sure people who are listening who want to get in touch with you, let's make that connect now. Can you, you know, you have any links, avenues for people to find you if they want you to come speak or something or perform?
Absolutely. Probably the two quickest ways is at Vandell Azar Ali on Twitter. You can do that very easily. Spell just like how you have it on your posts. VandellAzharAli, all one word, or email me at azar@azarmediagroup.com. AZHAR.
Great. We're gonna put this on our Facebook page as well. So we're gonna do this after the show. You can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/world of ideas. And we're going to put up some info for you all to get in touch with Azar. I mean, we need you in our schools. We need you in our community. We need you everywhere, you know, from East Coast to West Coast, which is what you're doing. I mean, we need you out there. So what we're going to do is we don't have enough time to drop some music, but I want to drop one of your tracks here. I love All Scientific. And I got Don't Play With Time.
Okay.
What do you think we should drop right now just for the just to leave them with right now?
Well, Don't Play With Time is a hard-hitting, straight to the point, you know. So we'll go there.
You want to hit them with that?
Why not?
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to hit you with Don't Play With Time by Azar. Thank you very much for tuning in today. I'm definitely going to get him back here, so don't worry. We're going to get more. Thanks again. Have a good night and a great week. And here we are. Don't Play With Time.
This is a public service announcement for all the public enemy.
Don't play with time, cause time don't play. Make the most of every moment of every day. The older you get, the faster time flies. Keep it moving or time will pass you by. In the blink of an eye, we go from cradle to the grave. Nobody gets out of life alive each day. We get 86,400 seconds. The clock keeps ticking like the close high hat on this record. So what you hitting for, Papa? Better roll the dice. What you looking at, Mama? Make your moves precise. A second gone is a second gone, and 1 second closer to the day your physical is gone. But the physical is born with a purpose. Some call it a temple, others call it a vehicle. While its worth is immeasurable, the greatest of it being the mind. The brain weighs 7.5 ounces combined to manipulate and master space and time. Become a mastermind, and you'll fast to find the secrets of the universe, which become evident from the results you disperse it when you and I burst. Don't play with time, cause time don't play. Make the most of every moment of every day. The older you get, the faster time flies. Keep it moving or time will pass you by. Don't play with time, cause time don't play. Make the most of every moment of every day. The older you get, the faster time flies. Keep it moving or time will pass you by. Time is too precious to be doing a bid or dabbling in situations that might split your wig. See if that court judge bam you and hit you with large numbers, you might as well be in a cousin of slumber. Once you are convicted felon, you become commoditized for selling. Soon they're gonna slap a barcode on your melon. A split wig only earns a stay in the graveyard. Can't do nothing from there, not even pray to God. So be wise and think deeply. Use your
brain. Seek advice from elders to avoid pain. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain from reading books that can help put you up on game. I know this isn't popular speak in the rap world, but I don't care because rap is not the whole world. Time ticket, and I would only be wasting it if I mimic these rappers and their redundant gimmicks. Don't play with time, cause time don't play. Make the most of every moment of every day. The older you get, the faster time flies. Keep it moving or time will pass you by. Don't play with time, cause time don't play. Make the most of every moment of every day. The older you get, the faster time flies. Keep it moving or time will pass you by. What you gonna do today to get one step closer to the things you say you want out of life? A plan plus patience plus passion plus action plus love for what you're doing makes the goal that you're pursuing right within reach. Success is when opportunity and preparation meet. Once a day goes by, you can't get it back. The earth stays spinning and ain't nothing gonna change that. Use the calendar as a tool to strategize all your moves. Explore every angle as if you're playing pool. The pool sticks to mine. The cue ball is time. The holes are the target. The ball is the grind. Aim, hit it. Watch the chain reaction, get it. If you miss, recalibrate again. Aim, hit it. Never give up as long as you on green earth. Use your ability for everything that is worth. Make the most of every moment of every day. The older you get, the faster time flies. Keep it moving or time will pass you by. Don't play with time, cause time don't play. Make the most of every moment of every day. The older you get, the faster time flies. Keep it moving or time will pass you by.